Wake Up Call on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The Wake Up Call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Some of that, so hot. So hot out there. 110 in the shade, Rusty. Is that true?
Sir.
All right. This is the wake-up call here at WNRN. We'll have the accurate weather for you at about 20 after. But let me thank Dixon Disposal for allowing us to be here today. Dixon reminds you that you can reduce your household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. Small changes in your lifestyle can keep the planet green for years to come. And when Dixon's picks up your trash, they sort it and separate it for recycling. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. Dial them, 978-2111, or online, DixonDisposal.com. And a shout-out to those folks at Lovingston's 94.7. Maybe it's a little cooler out there. Our guest today, let me punch all the right buttons and make sure we got it going, Christine Nardi. Christine, are you with me?
I am here.
Thank you so much for coming in today, although the AC is running. So sometimes it's a beautiful Sunday, and I realize people have given up their hour to be with us today. It's like, is your AC on? I'll come over there.
I'm very appreciative.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Christine is the executive director of the Center for Nonprofit Excellence. And, you know, in doing my homework for the show, my first question was, what the heck is that? It's nonprofit excellence. Seems like everybody would want that, right? Not Center for Nonprofit Excellence.
Not too controversial, really, in the name, but we're a local resource center for area nonprofits. We provide education and training in a variety of different formats. We gather and share local, state, and national resources that help nonprofits do their jobs better, and we mentor nonprofits at all stages of development.
And so for those who are listening going, okay, but one of the things I want to talk about for the hour is you know, nonprofits as a group, learn a little bit more about nonprofits. I want to talk about how some of the federal and state funding and budget and legal laws affect a nonprofit. I know from talking with friends and family that there are people who have considered starting a nonprofit or working for a nonprofit, and we're going to cover all that during the hour, so stay tuned. You can write down the number if you're going to have a question later, 979-0919. Kristen's here to answer the phones today before she goes away to school, 979-0919. The toll-free number, obviously this issue goes out beyond the Charlottesville-Albemarle area, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Christine Nardi, she's the executive director for the Center for Nonprofit Excellence here in Charlottesville. Kristen, does the CNE, does that go, I mean, is this sort of a national organization that has its Charlottesville chapter?
Good question. We're not affiliated with a national entity. We're actually a regional organization. We have members and nonprofits that we serve all across the Central Virginia region, but we primarily have members in the Charlottesville-Albemarle region and in the surrounding counties. There are CNE-type organizations in other parts of the state and also nationally as well.
All right. Well, let me jump to the first question that has had me struggling all week is the difference between a charity and a nonprofit.
Right. Well, a nonprofit is primarily a legal and a tax structure. Often people, when they think of the word nonprofit, they think that organizations who are nonprofits can't make profit. And the fact of the matter is that nonprofits can and do make profit. The difference between a nonprofit and a for-profit is what they do with that excess resource. And what nonprofits do is they roll it back into their mission. Now, a charity is a type of nonprofit organization. Many people also have heard the term a 501c3, and that's an IRS designation. A 501c3 is a public charity or a private foundation whose goal is to serve the common or the public good. So a charity can have a mission that's a religion or faith-based focused mission, charitable, educational, scientific, literary. 501c3 is just one type of our IRS designation for organizations that are tax exempt. You may also have heard of C4 or C6 organizations. A C4 organization would be primarily an advocacy organization. A C6 would be a trade association along the lines of the Chamber of Commerce.
All right, so I got lost a little bit along the way with that because I still prefer to do my taxes as the EZ form rather than filling in all the blanks and trying to do that probably in a way that would save me money but doesn't give me a headache. So a charity versus a nonprofit. And I understand that a nonprofit can actually have more assets than debts, but then they have to take that extra asset, whether it's dollars or in some other way, and reapply it to what their stated goal is.
Exactly.
If I make extra money here at WNRN, we then have to take it and use that to put it back into the community, put it back towards expanding the growth of the radio station so that we can continue our community mission.
Right. And a charity is just one form of a nonprofit. A charity, when people think of the term nonprofit, they often think of charity and volunteer, because that's really what's associated with that IRS structure, that 501c3, where an organization that has that structure has the opportunity to be tax exempt, essentially, for income and property taxes, but not all taxes. And then 501c3 organizations also have the opportunity for example, if you find an organization in the community that you really want to support and you write a check or give a donation to support that organization, then that donation is tax deductible. And that's unique to charitable organizations, 501c3s.
So if I write a check to a nonprofit that is not a charity, I can't take that as a donation? I can't take that off my taxes?
If you write a check to a nonprofit that's not a 501c3 charity, then your donation is not tax deductible, but the organization still, if it's under that 501c IRS structure, still is exempt from income and property taxes at the federal level.
All right. Now, let's jump off the tax issue and get into some other topics. Again, we are talking to Christine Nardi, who's the executive director of Charlottesville's sort of regional Center for Nonprofit Excellence, talking about nonprofits and charities and all the things that go into that. You always hear about people usually from some sort of life-changing negative experience wanting to start a charity in remembrance or in honor of someone who has had an untimely death, who lived a great life but has now passed on, et cetera. And a charity falls into one segment of a nonprofit.
Correct.
Okay. I want to know, but the Center for Nonprofit Excellence will help anyone get established. It's not just the nonprofit, such as, what are some local ones? Discovery Museum on the downtown mall.
Right.
What are some others I saw? Jefferson Area Board for Aging.
Right.
But there were some others that I saw that were more along the lines of what I think to be a charity, and I know I'm going to get the names wrong, but it was like Sisters for Cancer.
Sisters
Conquering Cancer, and similar sort of like that. When I saw that Discovery Museum and Jefferson Area Board for Aging, I always thought of those as government organizations getting money from the government to do their task.
Well, they might get money from the government. They might get federal or state grants, but they are in and of themselves independent nonprofit organizations. So nonprofits come in all shapes and sizes. What people typically think of when they think of nonprofits are organizations that provide direct services to the community, that help make our community more vibrant, healthier, that may provide services to individuals who need assistance with figuring out how to handle Alzheimer's in their family, or who may want to go to a wonderful local theater production. There are a variety of different ways that nonprofits provide and buoy the community to make it healthy and vibrant, and as many nonprofits that are doing that kind of work. So yes, the Center for Nonprofit Excellence, one of the key things that we do, as I mentioned, is mentor nonprofits at all stages of development. And so if an individual or a group of individuals has an idea that they think might be a good fit for a nonprofit, we encourage them to come to talk to us about the question of whether the nonprofit form is really right for them. And so we have a quarterly free information session called Should I Start a Nonprofit that helps these individuals and these excited groups of community citizens decide whether or not forming an actual nonprofit structure, because again, it's a tax and legal structure, whether that's the right next step for the idea that they have. Sometimes people, and historically in our country, people come together to try to benefit or improve the lives of their neighbors, their fellow citizens. That may or may not be an activity that requires the whole nonprofit tax and legal structure. It could be just fine with those citizens doing that on their own as a way to serve their neighborhood or their community. Or it could be a program, for example, of another nonprofit, and doesn't need to necessarily be a separate entity or organization, because that then requires some legal and tax responsibilities.
11:13 on the Wake Up Calls. We talk about nonprofits, and I guess we're also talking about charities. We're talking about ways to help your community with Christine Nardi, who's the executive director from Charlottesville's Center for Nonprofit Excellence. Let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing us to be on air today and informing you of what we're doing. Blue Ridge Graphics can be found at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville. They have custom T-shirts and sportswear, professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 434-296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. All right, back with Christine. Christine, let's go back to the stages of starting up a nonprofit. So I come to you because I would like to raise money for my friend Rusty Sempre, who has had a situation where, you know what, he just can't keep up in his life, and I'd like to honor him for what he does, and but I don't know what the first step is, because there have got to be hundreds of people listening who have had a similar thought pace through their mind about a family member, a friend, and sort of recognition post or current.
Absolutely. And so what you have the opportunity to do through CNE is, as I mentioned earlier, you can come to our quarterly Should I Start a Nonprofit information session. We also have a very content-rich website. And on that website, we have resources for individuals who are thinking about starting nonprofits. We also have a resource library in our office, which is located behind Seville Coffee, where people can come and, if they're members of CNE, check out a few books. If you're not, take a look at them in the library to just kind of get a sense for what it really means to start a nonprofit. And so as a core part of our mission, as I said, we mentor nonprofits at all stages of development. And so one piece of that is working with individuals or groups of individuals who are thinking about starting nonprofits.
So what are some of the questions you're going to ask me first?
Well, the first question I'm going to ask you is just like if you're thinking about starting a for-profit business, because actually a nonprofit is a business just like a for-profit business is. It's just a different bottom line. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, have you done your market research? Have you looked out into the community to see whether there are other nonprofits or other public or private sector entities that are doing similar kinds of work to what you're doing that you may be able to form a strategic alliance with to accomplish the goal or the need that you see that's not being met? The second question we'll ask is, have you thought about putting together a business plan? A business plan would include that market research, but it would also include questions like, can you engage the community in the work that you're talking about doing? Because one of the things that I often tell people is, you may have the best idea in the world, but if you decide to form a nonprofit, in order for that idea to have legs, to be successful, you're going to have to engage the community in that idea, in supporting you financially, in supporting you with human capital, in supporting you with service on your board. And if you can't engage someone beyond yourself or your family in that idea, then that might... forming a nonprofit may not be the best strategy for you.
On my board.
Your board of directors.
And is that because, is there some sort of law that requires me to have a board of directors as a nonprofit versus a charity or similar?
Well, as a nonprofit organization, again, just like a for-profit organization, if you decide to take step one of forming a non-stock corporation in the state of Virginia, then yes, it's a requirement that you have a governing organization, a governing board, in addition to the staff that work with you. And that governing board has what we call fiduciary or legal responsibilities to make sure that the funds that you're taking in, the programs that you're doing, the activities that you're engaged in are all serving your mission and benefiting the community. And so for a nonprofit to be successful, it needs to have a group of individuals who serve on the board of directors who can help engage the community in the strategic direction of the organization.
But if I want to start my own for-profit business, that doesn't require me to have a board.
Well, it depends on what kind of structure you're deciding to use, what kind of legal structure you're deciding to use for your for-profit business as to what the governing requirement is by law. But for a 501c3 nonprofit organization, if you form a non-stock corporation, then a board of directors is a key component of governing your organization.
11:18 on the wake-up call with Christine Nardi from the Center for Nonprofit Excellence as we talk about nonprofits of all types and ways to start one, what you need to do when you're thinking about it, ways to make them run at their best. That's what the Nonprofit Excellence stands up for. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. You can also send us an instant message at WNRN Studio using the AOL segment. Christine, we talk about making a nonprofit. So you follow all the directions. You have your board. I've come to you, and we've determined that that the Rusty Simpre nonprofit business is what we want to do. What stops me from putting together something that's so awesome that at the end of the year we have $200,000 profit and I haven't paid myself a dime, and that's where that $200,000 is going? We're putting it back into the business through my pocket.
Well, just like any business structure, as I mentioned, you have a board of directors, you have some kind of legal responsibilities. Once you form a non-stock corporation and become a 501c3, you're required, again, to take any profit that you enjoy from the work of the organization and roll it back into the organization. One way to do that is to pay salaries, reasonable salaries, prudent salaries for individuals that are working for your organization. And it's the board of directors' responsibility to look at what the appropriate salary and compensation would be for a nonprofit leader and make sure that they're doing their due diligence to figure out what the appropriate salary is. If $200,000 isn't the appropriate salary, then it's the board of directors' responsibility to make sure that that money is put back into the organization in an appropriate way for programs, for services, for different kinds of things that make that nonprofit operate successfully. And if you don't do that, there are a variety of different ways that there could be problems with the organization. One way would be if you're filing your annual information return with the IRS. It's called the Form 990. You're required to disclose things like what kind of salary or compensation levels you pay to leaders of your organization. And then the IRS has the responsibility of taking a look at that and deciding whether that salary and compensation level is appropriate.
It is 11:21 here on the wake-up call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Please be advised, heat advisory in Richmond until 8 p.m. tonight. It's sunny and hot with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the mid-90s today. Upper 90s in Richmond with a heat index of 108. Mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers tonight. Lows 70 to 75. A little warmer in Richmond and Lynchburg. Then partly sunny tomorrow morning, mostly cloudy in the afternoon, 50% chance of showers tomorrow, highs 85 to 90, even warmer in Richmond with an expected heat index of 104. Right now it's sunny outside, 82 in the valley, 91 in Lynchburg, 89 in Richmond, 91 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let me thank The Backyard for their support. UVA Corner's culinary secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a seasonal menu, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. For more info, it's 434 202-8215, thebackyarduva.com, and there's also a Facebook page. NWNRN is proud to serve Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley by giving you a unique mix of your favorite music and new artists you won't hear anywhere else, in addition to giving you opportunities to win things like CDs and concert tickets, nights on the town. We can only do that with the support of our underwriters and people like Kathy Henchy and Ann Krieger and Brenda Clement Jones, who pledged to the Wake Up Call in the last fund drive. You can become a part of the community radio at its best and show your support by making a donation to WNRN in the next fund drive or anytime at WNRN.org. All right, back to Wake Up Call's guest today, Christine Nardi, as we talk about Center for Nonprofit Excellence and nonprofits as a group. Christine, let's take it to a little larger level for a moment. There's the federal budget discussion is ongoing, and there's you talked about your webpage full of important content, and there was a blip on there to link to about how the current discussion affects or may affect nonprofits. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, legislative decisions at the local, state, and national level often have impact on an individual mission of a nonprofit, but also on the nonprofit sector in general. So, for example, public policy decisions that happen related to the environment or healthcare or education, those would be examples of how nonprofits who work in those areas would be focused on looking at what those public policy decisions, what the effect of those decisions would be on their ability to serve their mission. But if you step back from that, decisions related to the budget, decisions related to raising the debt limit, debates around those issues also have an effect on the nonprofit sector as a whole. Because in some cases, nonprofits receive funds from the federal government and the state government. And so if federal and state grants dry up, or if contract payments are delayed, for example, then nonprofits' ability to serve their missions is really impacted in a negative way. Just to give a specific example, there's talks about cuts in workforce development at the federal and state level, workforce development retraining programs provided by government and also provided by nonprofits. So if, for example, the $182 million in cuts that are proposed for the Department of Labor and workforce investment programs go through, then the effect of that on literacy programs, vocational education programs, displaced worker programs, all of those that often are managed by nonprofits will see real reductions in abilities to provide services. There's talk at the national level of elimination of funding for national and community service. People often know that as the AmeriCorps program or in the past the VISTA program. Nonprofits here at the local level often rely on AmeriCorps volunteers to be able to have staff in place to really conduct their programs in the community. And so if there's a cut in national and community service and the AmeriCorps program goes away or is reduced, then that will reduce the staffing levels of local nonprofits like Habitat for Humanity, for example. And so those decisions that happen at the national and then at the state and the local level really do affect the nonprofit sector as a whole, particularly as it relates to the availability of budget for community services.
Do you sort of, I found an interesting quote, and I hope it's true, because sometimes when you're talking about politicians and what has been attributed to them, it may not always be correct. But the discussion was about if we remove empathy out of our federal budget, then we save trillions of dollars. I think for many people, that's what nonprofits are all about, correct? Is about empathy.
Well, they're about making communities better places to live, and a key component of that is empathy for everyone in your community. But nonprofits are also about making sure that we have a vibrant and rich cultural and civic life. They're also, in addition to being about social safety nets, nonprofits can and are engaged in advocacy to change policies for the better for the community. And so I think that's where the empathy connection comes in. But often I think there's a misconception about nonprofits because People can point to that 501c3 tax-exempt status and say that that's an area where we're not collecting income, we're not collecting revenue that we could then put back into the community as a whole. But the fact of the matter is it's not just nonprofits that receive tax benefits. The for-profit sector often receives tax benefits, tax breaks, tax incentives, tax abatements as well. And it's just a process of doing business. And on the, at the nonprofit side, the effect of not having those tax exemptions and tax benefits is real impact on individuals in the community that may be your next door neighbors, maybe people that you work with, people, humans that you see day to day.
We were talking about the federal issues and what's going on with the federal budget, but I think as most people know, there can be difference in laws between federal and state. Are there things that are legal or illegal or that are applied to nonprofits in the state of Virginia that are easier, that make Virginia a better place to have a nonprofit in some areas and maybe more difficult in another? Or are nonprofits all about the federal level?
No, nonprofits aren't all about the federal level by any means. Nonprofits, as I said, are affected by what happens certainly in the state budget discussions and what happens at the local level. For example, just recently in the city of Charlottesville and the county of Albemarle, there was a process by which both of those two governmental entities stepped back and took a look at how they were providing funding for nonprofits in our community and took some time to consider whether and how that funding would be allocated in the future. And that question has a real effect on nonprofits that many of your listeners know about and support every day, a real effect on if they do or don't get a grant from the city or county, or if they do or don't get funding from the state government. That has an impact on their ability to provide the programs and services that they're providing. And so nonprofits have to be very nimble and pay attention both to federal, state, and local government decisions and budget decisions because of the effect that it has on their ability to carry out their programs. I think one of the challenges for nonprofits is that nonprofits are typically focused with their staff on serving the programs and the services that they're providing in the community. And so there's less money, less human resource available for questions of advocacy on behalf of their clients, their individual clients that they're serving, advocacy on behalf of the sector when it relates to questions of funding. Nonprofits can be fragmented in that sense, more so than in some cases larger corporations or larger industries. And so the challenge is having the nonprofit sector voice heard at the local, state, and national level so that it's not just the individuals that are working for the nonprofits, but also the individuals that the nonprofits are serving and that their voices are heard.
11:30 on the Wake Up Call as we talk with Christine Nardi about nonprofits, where your money goes, how it should be dispensed and dispersed. She's from the Christine Nardi Center for Nonprofit Excellence. That's not quite correct. Christine is the executive director at the Center for Nonprofit Excellence. Speaking of nonprofits, if you are a regular listener to the Wake Up Call, you should join our team. Wake Up Call is currently looking for a new show producer. Producer helps answer and screen phone calls and assists with some of the technical aspects of the show. No previous radio experience is needed, and this is a wonderful way for you to learn about radio and support the programming you enjoy. For more information or to apply, email wakeup@wnrn.org. And also, let's talk about vehicles for charity for a moment. This hour is brought to you by listeners like you and with Vehicles for Charity. If you want to get rid of an old vehicle, but don't want to deal with selling it, fixing it, or junking it, you can consider donating it to WNRN. The donation process is simple. You get rid of your unwanted vehicle, qualify for a tax deduction, and support the programming you rely on. You can find out more about donating your car, motorcycle, or RV, whether it runs or not, at wnrn.org/donateyourcar. All right, back with Christine. Let's talk for a minute about a specific couple of nonprofit organizations that you work with. And I see the phone's ringing, 979-0919, also the toll-free number, 877-WNRN-ROCKS. So let's talk about a few specifics.
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, the Center for Nonprofit Excellence, its programs, its services, its website, its weekly e-newsletter are available by and large to the public. But we are a member-driven organization. We have more than 270 members of the Center for Nonprofit Excellence, and about 230 of those are nonprofits in the greater Charlottesville region. And so our nonprofits have operating budgets of under $100,000 to several million. Our nonprofits are working on issues as broad and vast as the issues that your listeners care about. And our nonprofits are at all stages of development. They could be startup organizations. They could be organizations that we call in the adolescent phase, and organizations that are more mature, that have been around for a number of years serving the community and are looking to think about ways that they can continue to innovate, continue to provide their services in the most effective way possible. And so they come to C&E and ask some of those questions.
All right, we'll get into actually want a name or two of some particular groups and some of the challenges that they might have faced that C&E has helped them with. But let's take a phone call real quick. We got John from Charlottesville. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm all right. You got a question or a comment for Christine?
Yeah, I have an ethical question for you. My question, I guess, is if you identified an issue in the community, just hypothetically, let's say you wanted to educate the people of the community about asbestos, and you figured that was a good topic for a nonprofit, but there were no companies out there to actually remove asbestos. So you decided the best way to help the community was to also start a for-profit company to do removal. Do you view that as an ethical conflict or not?
Not necessarily, if I understand your question. There are often nonprofit organizations that start or have as related entities for-profit programs or services. And those for-profit programs or services, say if it was asbestos removal, if those funds were coming in on a for-profit level, those funds may then be allocated to the nonprofit to better serve its educational purposes or its mission. And so there's nothing inherently wrong with having a for-profit and a nonprofit that have a similar goals and similar missions, just different legal structure and different mechanisms for how they bring in funds to provide those services. It's just really a question of what structure should be in place legally, and whether the bottom line of this is, when you think about it, the legal structure is kind of what comes at the end of the discussion. What's at the beginning of the discussion or debate is really, what am I trying to do in the community? Am I primarily trying to serve the public interest, the common good, or am I primarily trying to provide a product or service that will make money and benefit me or a couple individuals directly? And that's the first question.
Hey, John, good stuff, man. I like that.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. So what I heard, Christine, is that with John's question about both making a for-profit business to remove the asbestos and a nonprofit organization to be informative and possibly help people who have been hurt or medically bothered by asbestos. It's sort of like building the house and then having a wing.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Or, there are many, many nonprofits at C&E, as an example, who within their own structure, they have a variety of ways that they bring income into the organization. They may earn revenue. For example, C&E charges members for being part of the organization and charges program fees for the trainings that we do. But we also have donated income from individuals, from corporate sponsors, and from private foundations. And so just because you're a nonprofit doesn't mean you can't engage in some earned revenue function in order to raise funds to satisfy your mission.
Aren't there too many nonprofits or in an organization? Like, you can only put so many people in the bathtub.
Well, is the question whether or not there are too many nonprofits in this community as a whole, or whether...
Well, I don't know that there are necessarily too many in this community yet. But I guess my question is, at some point, aren't there too many nonprofits slash charities? Because there's only so much income to be donated, to be earned, to do the business and help the people that, that the community would like to support.
Well, you know, it really comes down to a market question and, a competition question, if you will. Rarely, I think, do people ask the question whether or not there are too many for-profit organizations, because what happens in the for-profit sector is if an organization forms, for example, a organization that serves pizza delivery, if there are three or four pizza delivery companies in the community, they'll survive or thrive based on the kinds of services they provide, whether or not their pizza's any good, and the market and the competition will decide that. In the nonprofit sector, the difference, of course, is that oftentimes the payor for the service is different from the client, because we have donors that come and support nonprofits, and those donors often, not all the time, are different from the clients that are served by the nonprofit. And so the question really is on the nonprofit side. I think it's incumbent upon nonprofit individuals involved in nonprofits, particularly as they're starting out, to make sure that there really is a need and a market for the service that they're providing. And it's incumbent upon the community that supports the nonprofit as a volunteer, as a nonprofit board member, as a donor, to really look closely at the nonprofit to see whether it is serving a need that's not being met, and whether it's doing it well. And if those questions are answered in the affirmative, then it likely makes sense for that nonprofit to be existing in the community.
11:39 here on the Wake Up Call. Dial us with your question, like John's, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Christine Nardi here with us today.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, with Democratic primary for Charlottesville City Council just days away, The Hook lets you meet the candidates to find out just what they'll do if voted into office. New signage lets us know which land was the Kluge's and is now the Trump's. And The Dish asks, what is the proper way to thank a chicken for being your meal? The Hook, no insurance needed. And we also want to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to be on air today, where you are encouraged to be kind, have fun, and do the right thing. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville. They have three locations in Richmond. For more store information, it's brms.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because it's Les Temps Perdue at noon. Best 80s and 90s alternative. Bands like Mighty Lemon Drops, Mud Honey, and Social Distortion. Brought to you in part by Caliente. Requests are always welcome on Les Temps Perdue. All right, back with our guest today, Christine Nardi. She's the executive director of Charlottesville's Center for Nonprofit Excellence. As we talk about nonprofits as a group, some of the challenges for nonprofits. And Christine, let's go back. I want to talk about two or three of the specific nonprofits that CNE has helped and some of the challenges that CNE has helped them overcome.
Well, in terms of the specific nonprofits that CNE has helped, what I'd point you and your listeners to is our membership list on our website, because all of those nonprofits that are members of CNE have in some way accessed CNE in order to improve their efficiency or their effectiveness. We do provide technical assistance. We provide individual consulting with nonprofits, but we do that on a confidential basis. One of the strong philosophies or commitment behind the Center for Nonprofit Excellence is that we aren't a grant-making organization. We're an organization that provides technical assistance, that provides training, that tries to help nonprofits of any ilk do their jobs better. And so we encourage nonprofits to come to us with any issue that they have, and we try to give them tools, training, and resources that can help support them in that. And so the individual nonprofits that we've served, we do that on a confidential basis. But I'll give you an example of the kinds of things that come to CNE. When I talk about technical assistance, you know, we take a variety of different calls from both members and non-members on questions on nonprofit management, board governance, leadership questions, technology questions. It's just a wide range of questions related to I'm working in a nonprofit and I want to be able to provide our programs and services as efficiently, as effectively as possible, but I'm struggling with this issue, or I'm challenged by this issue, or I need to know more about this issue. Issues as varied as we're hiring our first executive director and we'd like to put together a job description and an employee manual. Can you help us do that, or can you give us resources that we can go to figure that out? Our board of directors is in need of growing itself and expanding itself and finding new skills to bring to the table. Can you help us come up with a strategy for developing our board? A training that we do trainings and provide monthly trainings on a variety of different topics related to nonprofit management and governance. And then we also have two longer-term professional development programs that are accessed by members and nonprofits all across our region. One is our Board Development Academy. We're actually recruiting for that right now. It's a 9-month training program on how to be a really strong, effective board member. And any member of the community is encouraged to think about applying if you're engaged in the nonprofit sector. And the second is our Leadership Development Program. We have circles called Leaders and Learning Circles, and that involves nonprofit leaders who come together in small groups to help work on their day-to-day management challenges in a confidential, facilitated setting. And we now work with over 20 nonprofit executives in the community doing that, in addition to our Board Development Academy and our variety of different other trainings and programs. So those are just a few examples of the kinds of things that CNE does to support the sector.
I went to the CNE website, of course, to do some homework. And you have a job board of different organizations around the area that are hiring.
That's right. One of the things that we highlight both on our website, and then we have a weekly e-newsletter. I mentioned that earlier. That's available to anybody. You can just go on our homepage and get access to it. And in that newsletter, we highlight job and volunteer opportunities in the nonprofit sector, primarily through the organizations that are members of ours. But that includes opportunities to serve on nonprofit boards, as well as opportunities to provide support to nonprofit staff and then nonprofit jobs that are available in the community. And our e-newsletter goes out to over 1,500 subscribers in the community. And our website is accessed both locally, regionally, and even nationally on a daily basis. So we really we know from our recent 2011 member survey that members really want and use our website and our networking services in order to do their jobs better. And so we put a lot of emphasis on trying to make those as forward-thinking and innovative as possible.
Let me talk about working for a nonprofit through the finding a job through your job board. With your background, does it take a different kind of person to work for a nonprofit?
A different kind of person in what sense, Rick?
Well, you know, I get up every day, I go to work to make my money, and I enjoy what I do, but I'm, you know, ready to get my paycheck. Does it take a different personality to work for a nonprofit? People always joke about how, well, if you're working for a nonprofit, you're not getting much of a paycheck.
Right.
You know, do you have to be, and this is always going to come out wrong, do you have to be excited about your job, willing to sort of donate hours of your life to do that you may not do for a for-profit business?
I think one of the fallacies about the nonprofit sector is that in order to work in the nonprofit sector, you have to be mission-driven or mission-oriented to the exclusion of much else. I would argue that in order to work in the nonprofit sector, you certainly have to be committed to the mission that the organization espouses that you're working with. But you also have to bring some hard skills to the table, just like you do in the for-profit sector. And so nonprofits have to be strong businesses in order to be successful. And so people who work for the nonprofit sector come to it from all kinds of experiences, oftentimes coming from the for-profit sector, and they bring to it their resumes and their backgrounds, and that's what makes a nonprofit as dynamic as it can be. But you by and large need to be open to what the mission is, as well as have some experience in program management. You certainly have to have experience in working collaboratively, and I feel like I'm writing a job description for working at a nonprofit.
Thank you, because I'm going to be looking soon.
In general, I think you have to like working with people, because nonprofits tend to need to engage the community to be successful.
Again, we are talking with Christine Nardi. She's the executive director for Charlottesville's Center for Nonprofit Excellence. John had a great question earlier when he called. We'd love to hear your question or comment. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Christine, one of the things on your website talked about direct mail for nonprofits, and I found that to be really interesting because of some of the things I read. I mean, just the title itself, using direct mail as a way for a nonprofit to succeed, I guess it was the line right below it that sort of engaged me. It said, I was talking about the closure of the Charlottesville Postal Sorting Facility. And I don't remember that your name was like the title of the person who wrote the article, but can you talk about that? Because I'm curious as to why that would play a role in whether or not a nonprofit was successful, or what they needed to do to change their previous behavior to be successful because of this.
That's a great question. You know, what the CNE does is try to surface issues and surface challenges that nonprofits face, and then find information, gather and bring information to nonprofits that can help them surmount those challenges. And so direct mail, if you're not familiar with that, is essentially a source of revenue generation for some nonprofits, not all nonprofits. As I mentioned earlier, nonprofits can survive on both earning revenue and also getting donated income. And so one of the ways that nonprofits succeed in fundraising is they engage a broad swath of the community in the work that they do, and then they encourage them to become supporters of nonprofits. And so direct mail is a tool to engage a broad range of the community in the kinds of work that they do, and then hopefully get resources as a result of that.
Is direct mail, is that when my nonprofit sends out a postcard to everyone in the 22903 zip code? Is that what we're talking about with direct mail?
Sure. That would be a kind of broad mailing that highlights some aspect of the nonprofit's mission, and then asks the individual who receives the mailing to support that mission financially. It can be expensive, it can be time consuming, and also it's a, you know, in some senses a volume game, because you, in order to bring in whatever financial contributions you can, the more broad your mailing goes, the more likely it is that you'll bring in that level of funding. And so the closure of the Charlottesville postal facility is related to that, but related in general to anyone that's a business for or nonprofit that does mailings about their products or services, because as of last year, when the Charlottesville Postal Facility closed, there was just a reduction then in the number of local mailers that could go out from that particular facility, because it was no longer local. That the next closest postal facility is in Richmond, and so that has an effect on nonprofits who do direct mail, because they lost that access to kind of local mailers and the discounts that were related to that.
And, well, I don't know if this plays a role, but one of the things that I found is since that facility closed is that I get things much later in time than I used to. You know, I used
That's
to get
right.
my Sports Illustrated every Thursday, and now I mean I get one week and then I get two the next week.
That's right.
One day after another. Does that play a role in a nonprofit? Is that something similar that we're talking about?
Absolutely. The same thing happens to you happens in the nonprofit sector. People send out not just direct mail, but also invitations to special events, annual reports, newsletters, and those newsletters are either delayed or in some cases don't actually make their destination, and some of it can be attributed back to the closing of that facility. So, again, just like the impact that it could have on the for-profit sector, in marketing their products and services, the same impact happens in the nonprofit sector.
11:51 here on the Wake Up Call with Christine Nardi as we talk about nonprofits. She's the executive director with Charlottesville Center for Nonprofit Excellence. Let me thank L. Oppelmans for allowing us to be here today. L. Oppelmans is Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelmans' music department is now featuring acoustic guitars and banjos, mandolins and violins, as well as electric guitar packages. Also available, complete drum sets. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg, and at loppelman.com. Christine, you mentioned an upcoming event when you're sending out your direct mail cards to try and get people to show up. CNE is having something, right?
That's right. This coming Tuesday is our annual summer open house. And what that is it's an opportunity for the community to come and network with the nonprofit sector. It's annual. We've had it for most of the years that we've been in existence. But the difference this year is we're actually celebrating our five-year anniversary. So we've combined that five-year anniversary celebration with our summer open house and just invited the community broadly. We wouldn't exist without our members, certainly. But also, many people don't know that with our monthly training series and with our Board Development Academy and some of our professional development programs, they exist because experts in the community volunteer their time to provide those trainings and be faculty for our programs. And so, you know, we wouldn't exist without our members. We wouldn't exist without our volunteer experts who help support our mission. We certainly wouldn't exist without our community supporters. And so what we've done is invite the community broadly to come help us celebrate and 5 years of service to the greater Charlottesville region and to look forward as to what's in the future for strong nonprofits in a community well served.
All right. Date and time?
Tuesday, July 26th from 5:30 to 7:30 at Seaville Coffee, which is right in front of our office, actually, on McIntyre Road.
Snacks?
Absolutely. Right. Drinks.
That's the key part.
Cupcakes.
For me. Well, I didn't want to get into the drinks part, but snacks. Yes. All right. So Tuesday, go and learn a little bit more about Center for Nonprofit Excellence. And maybe, you know, your nonprofit is out there, the groups, the organizations, the people that you support. Go help make CNE even more lively and able to help more people. You know, Christine, we all know that the economy has changed. Has what effect? I can't believe that it doesn't have some effect, but I would also believe that that would make the need for nonprofit excellence to be even greater with the change in the economy and the role, the effect that that's had on nonprofits in our area.
Well, again, any business has been affected by the challenges in the economy, and so not just nonprofits, also for-profits. But what that's required is it's required nonprofits to be even more nimble than usual and really look hard and fast at the kinds of work that they do to see if they can be stronger and smarter and do it better. And so the nonprofits that engage with CNE, and it's not just our members, it's more broadly in the community, when they're coming to us with that question. And it could show up in, I want to do a better job of marketing our services. It could show up in, we need to figure out how to evaluate these services better so that we can make the case to the community. But nonprofits are engaging with us every day on those sorts of questions and have been throughout the challenging economic climate. But really, it's the same advice that you would give to any businesses, and that is back to the basics. Look at who you're serving, who your clients are. Do your programs meet that identified need? Are you communicating effectively? And are you, in the case of nonprofits, mission-driven? And do you have a healthy structure, a healthy staff and board of directors? And so all of those different kinds of things are ways that we're engaging the nonprofit sector in trying to give them tools, training, and resources to be as strong as they can. Because, you know, oftentimes people think of nonprofits as community support and nonprofits as building arts and culture. But nonprofits are also an economic engine in our community, just like the for-profit sector. people don't really realize that nationwide, nonprofits employ approximately 10% of our workforce, and they serve 100% of Americans. All of us have either worked for or volunteered or served with a nonprofit. And that the same case happens locally. In 2005, nonprofits in the region spent nearly $812 million in the local economy.
Employed
more than 600 individuals.
$812 million?
And when you're thinking about nonprofits and when you're looking at those statistics, many people think of nonprofits as that small community nonprofit, but nonprofits are actually can be much bigger than that. The Martha Jefferson Hospital, for example, the University of Virginia, and so those larger nonprofits certainly are responsible for a great portion of that spending in the local economy and that employment. But the small and medium sized nonprofits are part of that as well.
This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Our last few minutes with Christine Nardi today talking about nonprofits. She is the executive director at Charlottesville's Center for Nonprofit Excellence. Christine, you mentioned Martha Jefferson Hospital and the University of Virginia. I can't imagine that anybody who doesn't work for them or isn't in this field that you're in considers them to be a nonprofit. University of Virginia is continuously buying land, building, putting up buildings. They qualify as a nonprofit?
Well, nonprofit in the sense, really, again, go back to the beginning of our conversation. Nonprofit means what do you do with the money that you bring in? Do you roll it back into your mission, or do you provide it to individuals who are the principals of the organization? And so, yes, those organizations are nonprofits under that definition. But it proves my point that nonprofits come in all shapes and sizes and can't really be pigeonholed into the kinds of work that they do, because nonprofit is really a tax and legal structure. The question is, what are you doing with the funds, and are you mission-driven?
Amazing. I feel like I've learned... I feel like I just got my head blown off with that last one. UVA is a nonprofit organization? Really? Although now when you say that, I feel like I should have known that all along. All right, so Tuesday at 5:30 at Seville Coffee is the five-year anniversary and sort of the summer party.
That's right, the networking, community networking. What often happens in these networking sessions is that nonprofits meet other nonprofits, they meet business leaders, and they find ways that they can create strategic alliances and do the job better. So networking isn't just about the party, it's also about the business.
Can I come and hand out my resume?
Would love to see you there, Rick.
All right. Thank you, Christine, for being here with us. Next week, the Wake Up Call will be talking about sugar in the school systems, something that's been in the on the paper and news a lot lately. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning Wake Up Call on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.